For the reading of God's Word, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In your Schofield Bible, page 5. And we'll be reading verses 26 through 27, these two verses. And then I'll instruct you as to where we go from there. We'll read some other verses in another book. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses in unison. So read with me, please. Ready? And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Turn now to Romans chapter 1. Your Schofield Bible, page 1192, 1192. Romans chapter 1. Reading three verses here, verses 21 through 23. The 23rd verse is a text verse also of tonight's message. Ready? Let's read. "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And let's pray. Father, since this morning's service, we've looked forward to this evening's service. It's just great to be in church on Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, these are wonderful, wonderful days and wonderful services, and we're thankful for the preaching. Thank you for our preacher. We surely pray that you'd use him once again tonight. You've used him so many times and in so many ways, and our lives have truly been changed and affected by the things that you've given him to give to us, and that we stand still as needy people. And we need to hear from thee. Grant thy help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read for you, without your turning to it, two passages. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, in whose image? In whose image? I read for you one verse. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." I call your attention to that little line, "God created man in his own image." Now I read for you, without your turning to it, in the first of Romans, just one of the verses read a while ago, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, four-footed beast and creeping things." Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created man in his image. In Romans chapter 1, it says man created God in his image. I want to talk tonight on the subject, in whose image. I hope you'll listen very carefully. I'm going to use this microphone a little bit tonight, and hope you listen very carefully. You guys think that I use this microphone, I get meaner than when I use that one, and you'd like to see me make enemies. I want to talk to you tonight very earnestly and sincerely on in whose image. Our Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be what the people need. And may we focus tonight what real Christianity is all about. Help us to get the focus, to see it clearly and plainly. Amen. Everybody sit up straight. Everybody look this way. All of the young people, quit your talking, look like this way, and all the older people wake up. And I want to make four statements in beginning. It's very important that you get these statements. Number one, God wants man to be like him. To prove that, the Bible says that God made man in his own image. And then when man sinned and fell from the image of God, God then made it possible for man to be redeemed, so that someday we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the great heart of God longed for a creature, man, to be like him. And so he made man in his own image, the Bible says. Then man fell, and God made it possible for man to be in his image someday. And also, between the time that man is saved and the time that he awakes in the likeness of Christ, he can gradually grow into the image of God. I said, number one, and it's four introductory statements. Number one, God wants man to be like him. Number two, man wants to be like God. No doubt about that. Man has a desire innately to be like God. Number three, Satan wants man to be like God. He came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and he said, if you'll eat that fruit, you'll be as gods, knowing or determining good and evil. You can decide for yourself what's good and decide for yourself what's evil. Do you get me? There's an agreement here. A man wants to be like God. God wants man to be like God. And Satan wants man to be like God. So statement number one, God wants man to be like him. Statement number two, man wants to be like God. Statement number three, Satan wants man to be like God. Number four, it seems like a workable situation. For we have three beings, the Heavenly Father, man, and the wicked evil one, Satan or the devil. All three agree on something, and that is all three want man and God to be alike. But there is a controversy. God wants man in his image, and man wants God in his image. Now, basically, those are the two religions of the world. One religion is that God wants man in his image, and the other religion is that man wants to change God to his image. God wants man to become like him, and man wants God to become like him. God created man in his image in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, man in turn has created God in his image. So God says, I want man to conform to me. And man says, I want God to conform to me. Now bear in mind, we have the same goal. God wants us to be like him, and we, by nature, would like to be like God. But the controversy is that God wants us to conform to his image, and we want God to conform to our image. It's so subtle, it looks the same. This is the difference between true Christianity and the Robert Schuller kind of Christianity. This is the real difference between true Christianity and the Bill Hybels Christianity. And this is the real difference between true Christianity and the charismatic movement today. Almost everywhere you go in America, you'll find some big charismatic church. But you walk in that church and you'll find that people have made God conform to them instead of them conforming to God. You turn the average charismatic television program on, and you'll find that in the charismatic movement, man has said to God, we'll dress like we want to dress, sing like we want to sing, wear our hair like we want to wear our hair, and we'll invite you in to visit our situation. We've got all fixed up here. We want you, God, to conform to our image, but God says, I want you to conform to my image. All you have to do tonight is come to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and then go to some big charismatic church and look at their crowd tonight, and you'll see the difference. Tonight, I have preached to you for 37 and a half years that we're to conform to the image of God. And you walk in the crowd, look how they're dressed. Just look at them, and you'll find that Christianity is a man-made Christianity where they're trying to make God conform to their image. That's why it's so popular. That's why everywhere you go in America, or many places you go, you have some church. It may be called a community church. It may be called a gospel center, something like that. But you'll find some church, and the women will have on shorts and pants tonight all over the house, and the men will have long hippie hair, and they'll have some kind of a religious rock group that'll sing. Now, the difference is, when you come to First Baptist Church Hammond, you find a church that has conformed to that book. And then you go to these big charismatic churches, community churches, like Bill Hybels over here in across town from us, across Chicago from us, and you'll find the difference is that we have said, that's the book. You conform to that book. And they have said, we will live like we've been living, we'll drink our cocktails, we'll dress like we want to dress, and invite God to come in and be our visitor, so God may conform to us. And every religion tonight and every church tonight is one of the two. Because all of it we're trying, and by the way, they'll preach on being like Jesus. They'll preach on being Christ-like. But what they mean is to make Jesus like us. What we mean is to make ourselves like Jesus. They mean let God conform to us and we'll decide what God is. And we say, let's conform to God and conform to God's book. You said, Brother Hobbs, don't think you ought to call Robert Shuler's name. Well, then don't ever do it. Mr. Shuler and Mr. Hybels did the same thing, and I'm sorry that my name is pronounced almost like his. They get us mixed up. I was on the airplane not long ago, and the fellow said, what kind of job? I said, I'm a preacher. What's your name? I said, Hiles. Oh, you pastor that church over there in Willow Run, Willow Creek, Willow Dale, Willow Springs Creek. And I said, no, I don't either. And I said, I am probably 2,000 miles from that church. He said, how come you're flying into Chicago? I said, if I flew as far from that church as I am, I'd be flying into Hong Kong. Now, there's the difference between Hiles and Hiles. Hybels went over the neighborhood. Check with him. He'll tell you. He went over the neighborhood. He's going to start a church. And he found out what the people wanted. And took a poll about what they wanted. Boy, they'll make popsicles in hell before I'll do that. And he built a church like the people wanted. You see what I'm trying to say? You're conforming God to man. So, Hybels says, tell us what you want, we'll build a church like it. Hiles says, this is what God wants, and we'll build you like this. We won't ask God to conform to what you want, we'll ask you to conform to what God wants. Hiles says, we'll build a church to suit you. Hiles says, we'll build a church to suit God. Hiles says, we'll make God conform to you. Hiles says, we'll help you to be conformed to God. Hybels says we'll build a God to suit you. Hybels says we'll build you to suit God. Now, several observations. Don't forget now, in whose image? Are we made in God's image and to conform ourselves to God's image? Are we to have God conform to our image? For example, God wants man's words to be like his. Man wants God's words to be like his. And by the way, it's time that our vocabulary in our church got cleaned up a little bit. We adopted the lingo of the world. I don't like for a young person to say, boy, man, that's neat. Neat means pressed. It doesn't mean, and by the way, oh, that's cool, man, cool. God doesn't want you talking the lingo of the world. It's time we cleaned up our English. I don't mean from immoral language. I mean just from crude language. I said, God wants man's words to be like his. And man wants God's words to be like his. God says, virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Man says, young maiden. He's trying to make God's words like his. God says, only begotten Son in John 3:16. Man says, only Son. He's trying to make God's words like his. God says, it's a shame for a man to wear long hair. Man says, it's okay to wear long hair. Somebody said, what is wrong here? I said, it's easy. It's opposite of shore. And by the way, you don't need to know what it is. You know what it is. And yet tonight, even in many of our... You go to Jerry Falwell's church. They got a bunch of long-haired hippies up there with a rock beat playing rock music. Why? Because they're trying to appeal to get a bunch of students. Listen, we will not have a rock group if we only have two students enrolled in Howells Anderson College this spring. We won't do it. We won't do it. I mean, we're not going to build a college conform where God has to conform to us and where God's word is changed to suit us. We'll build a college where we will change to suit this book. God says a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. It also says a man shall not wear that pertains to woman, and it says it's an abomination in the sight of God. Well, you say, well, House, why do you preach against women wearing pants? Same reason I preach against men wearing earrings. Because that's what God's word says. All across America, in an effort to get a crowd, in an effort to build a big crowd and get a big church, we're changing God's words to fit our own desires instead of changing our words to fit God's. Only that. God wants man to be like his son. Man wants God, his son to be like man. God says we ought to be like Jesus. We sing, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like him. See, God says, I want you to be like Jesus. But man says, I want Jesus to be like me. That's where the virgin birth comes in. God says, my son was born of a virgin. Man says, I want God's son to be like us, so we won't believe the virgin birth. God said, I want you to believe, I want my son to live a perfect life, and I want you to do what you can to conform to my son. Man says, we'll just say that your son didn't live a perfect life. And let me just drive a few nails in that coffin too, by the way. You'll never see this man sitting beside any kind of a so-called reverend at a ministerial association where the guy besides him says, we'll make a Jesus like us. My Bible doesn't say make Jesus like you. My Bible said make you like Jesus. I said God wants man's words to be like his. Man wants God's words to be like his. And that's what these new Bibles are all about. That's what the new Revised Standard Version is all about. That's what the new ASV is all about. That's what the new King James is all about. A bunch of men that think they're smart and think they're educated, they call them scholars, I call them idiots, who want to make God's words conform to their words and change the words of God. You may change the words on a piece of paper, but brother, you can't change the words of God because they abide forever. I said, God wants man's words to be like his. Man wants God's words to be like his. I said, God wants man to be like his son. Man wants to make his son like man. And that's what liberalism is really all about. God wants, listen to this, God wants man's music to be like his. Man wants God's music to be like his. God comes along and says, you sing music that will honor me. And I'll decide what kind of music you sing, and I want your music to be like me. Man comes along and says, we can't draw a crowd like that. Okay, then don't draw a crowd. If you've got to have a rock band to draw a crowd, don't draw a crowd. I'd rather meet with 10 people over here in this section right now, tonight, and have our music like God's music, and our book like God's book, and our lives like God's son, and pack this house out because I'm trying to get a crowd by making God look like man. The music in American churches needs to be overhauled. On one side, you got a bunch of stuffed shirts singing a bunch of highbrow stuff and playing classical music for all preludes and postludes and offertories. On the other side, you got a bunch of wild Indians copying the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. Somebody said, Brother House, don't you believe in the Rolling Stones? Yes, sir. The stone was rolled away. But our modern religion in America
that is so popular is nothing more than making God's words like man's words, God's son like man, and God's music like man's music. Illustration. God wants man to accept his plan of reconciliation, and man wants God to accept his plan of reconciliation. Listen to me, young people. Hey, young people, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. You need to hear a word I'm saying. What you don't understand, some young folks, is I'm fighting for you to have the old-time religion when I'm dead and in heaven. And if somebody doesn't speak what I'm speaking tonight, it won't be spoken. There's not one great, large church in America that has the influence that this church has, and bless God, this church is going to have an influence of making God's, man's words like God, and making man like God, and making man like God's son, and making man's music like God's music. God wants man to accept his plan of reconciliation. Man wants God to accept his. Now, God's plan of reconciliation is very simple. Four things. Man is a sinner. And I want to underline this tonight. Nobody will ever get saved who does not realize, number one, that he's a sinner. Nobody. You walk up to somebody and say, "Well, you take Jesus as your Savior," and they say yes, unless it is stamped in their heart indelibly what it's all about and what they ought to get saved from. Everybody that ever got saved, whose sins have ever been forgiven, who's ever been justified, who will ever walk the streets of glory, they realize first that they were sinners. The first point in our little soul-winning deal. Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, nobody will ever get saved unless he realizes he is under the condemnation of Almighty God, and there is a price on sin. And I like for folks to know that there's a hell where they're going to if they don't get saved, so they know the price and the judgment upon sin. God wants man to accept his plan of reconciliation, to reconcile a lost man from God. And God said, the first thing you've got to know, according to my plan, is that you're a sinner. And the second thing you've got to know is there's a price on sin, and that price will lead you to hell. The third thing you've got to know is that Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, and paid your sin debt for you, and suffered your condemnation for you, and rose again after 3 days and three nights for your justification. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's God's plan of reconciliation. And that's the only plan that'll work. Man comes along and says, "I want God to accept my plan." This is where salvation by works comes in. This is where salvation by repenting of all your sins comes in. This is where salvation by church membership comes in. God, man's trying to change God to accept his plan of redemption. That's where salvation by baptism comes in. That's where salvation by the sacraments comes in. That's where salvation by confirmation comes in. That's where salvation by communion comes in. That's where salvation by good deeds and good works comes in. That's where salvation by confession to a priest, a so-called priest, comes in. That's where salvation by absolution comes in. That's where salvation by the Holy Eucharist comes in. That's where they come and give you the last rites comes in. Brother, if you the last rites are too late. You can put that little wafer under your tongue and have father, mother come in, say what he wants to say. But the honest, simple truth is, all of these things, I'm talking about baptismal regeneration, I'm talking about sacraments, I'm talking about saved by taking communion, I'm talking about saved by good works, I'm talking about saved by joining a certain church, I'm talking about being saved by doing good deeds, I'm talking about being saved by observing the Sabbath day. All of those are man's effort to say to God, "I want to decide the plan of reconciliation." But brother, it is always the offended who decides how to be reconciled and not the offender. You don't drop the treaty. World War II was over. We dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki, not wherever it was, Nagasaki or Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And by the way, I'd like to defend President Truman for doing so. He saved more lives by dropping that bomb than if he hadn't dropped that bomb. So now it's time to have the peace treaty. So the Japanese come to the peace treaty and say, this is the way it'll be. Harry Truman says, bomby, bomby, bomby. I'll drop another. The Japanese didn't decide what that treaty was like. The Americans decided what that treaty was like. And brother, no man can come to God and tell God how to take man back. Man says to God, you accept my plan. God says to man, you'll have to accept my plan. God says, make your words like mine. Man says, you make your words like mine. God just wants men to be like his son. Men want the son to be like man. God wants man's music to be like his. Man wants God's music to be like his. God wants man to accept his plan of reconciliation. Man wants God to accept his plan of reconciliation. God says, let your standards be like mine. And man says, God, let your standards be like ours. But God's got a book. And in that book are God's irrefutable standards. And they're God's immutable standards. I don't know what that means, but I saw that in a book somewhere. Now you listen to me carefully. Back kind of when I was a young preacher, if you saw a woman in a pair of pants, you knew she was a whore. And if you saw a woman in a pair of shorts, you wouldn't even want to speak to her. What's happened? The same preachers whose ladies wore decent length skirts and dressed modestly have changed. They changed the convictions? No, sir. They didn't have any convictions. You don't change convictions, brother. If you got a conviction, it never changes. That's what the word means. The same crowd that used to have a decent-looking congregation now looks like a bunch of Hollywood whores. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God says, I want you to change your lifestyle to fit my standards instead of asking me to change my lifestyle and my word. And that's why you change the word of God, so you can help God to fit your standards. God wants man to do his will. Man wants God to yield to his will. Here's what's happening. And by the way, here's where you're guilty. Young people, you plan your life according to what you want. And then you want to put a little religion in it like you'd salt an egg. Or put mustard on a hot dog. God won't be the mustard. God's the wiener, and God's the bun, and God's the mustard, and God's the onions, and God's the lettuce, and God's the tomato, and God's the pickle. God is not flavor salt. But that's what men are doing. Yeah, some young folks right tonight, you're building your own life according to what you want, but you'll say, well, I would like to teach a Sunday school class when I get older. Or I want to go to a church somewhere when I get older. What you're saying is, I want to do my thing, go where I want to go, do what I want to do, be what I want to do, and sprinkle some religion on top of it. Now, what is God's way of God and man being alike? Let me go back and review a bit. Man wants to be like God. God wants man to be like God. Satan wants man to be like God. But the difference is how we become like God. Who changes? Who conforms? Who conforms to whom? God says, you conform to me. A man says, God, you conform to me. I travel a lot. I travel and sit beside a lot of people. Especially when I upgrade to first class. I fly so much that on United Airlines, I'm a premier executive. They have what they call the what do you call the United Airlines frequent flyer? What's it called? Forgotten. What? Help me, somebody. Anyhow, then you have what you call a premier frequent flyer, which means you fly, 35,000-40,000 miles a year. And you have what you call a premier executive, which means you fly, I fly on United Airlines probably 100,000 miles a year. So I'm a premier executive. Thank you. Thank you. I give God all the glory. But when I upgrade to first class, I sit up there with the rich people. Boy, I meet them. I was flying out to California. The fellow beside me took out his Bible and started reading it. It was a new international version, NIV. I took out mine and started reading it. It was an old King James version. Now, bear in mind this now. I said, where do you go to church? He said, Bill Hybels' church over at Willow Creek. Guess one of us didn't take a martini. Guess which one it was. Well, I just don't know which one it was. And I see it all the time. I was flying out to West Coast, sat beside a young lady, and she said, you reading your Bible? See, I'm a Christian too. By the time we got, and she said, I go to Moody Church. By the time we got to West Coast, she drunk so much, she thought I was cute. And that's what you call sot drunk. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if everybody gets up and walks out. I don't care if you have to preach to five people instead of 5,000. I'd rather preach to five people that man is supposed to conform to the image of God than preach to 5,000 people that God is supposed to conform to the image of man. Now then, we have an agreement here. God wants us to be like Him. We want to be like Him. Satan wants to be like Him. Now, we're supposed to conform to Him. Now, how do we do it? How do we become more in His image? Let me give you a personal testimony. I was preaching years ago. I mean many years ago, probably 35 years ago. For Dr. Harold Seitler, I was there with him 11 consecutive years. I was preaching to Dr. Harold Seitler about 35 years ago in Greenville, South Carolina. I got convicted while I was there that I ought to be like Christ. I was there for 3 days. I got my Bible and read every verse in the Bible I could find on Christ-likeness. I got my Cruden's Concordance. There are three books that I read. The Bible, Cruden's Concordance, and Howells Henderson College Yearbook. Trying to find a wife for you guys that can't get a date. Trying to find husbands for you gals that are looking for a date. And you guys are looking for a soul-winning Marilyn Monroe. When you're as ugly as a mud fence yourself. If you find one that's what you're looking for, you better hope she hadn't got standards that high. Look there for Scripture. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. Ephesians 4:32, forgetting one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. John 20:21, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. John 14:12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. I looked every verse, and as sincerely as a young man could, and this is years ago, I tried to be like Jesus. I mean that. I tried to love like he loved. I tried to forgive like he forgave. I tried to talk like he talked. I tried to act like he acted. I tried to be what he was. And I fell flat on my face. And then it dawned on me. I was doing it the wrong way. I needed to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I asked the Holy Spirit to help me to be like him and to be more and more conformed in his image. Now, of course, I'll not be conformed totally in his image, so I'll wake in his likeness. But I am to be growing more and more like him. So I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. And I still fell flat on my face. Now, I'm closing, but I want you to get this. I tried to be like Jesus, and I failed. And so will you. I tried to be like Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I still failed. Are you listening to me? I still failed. And then I came across one of the most important scriptures in the Bible, and a scripture that literally changed my life. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory. That means we're gradually being changed into his image. Get this now. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then it dawned on me. I can't change myself. I cannot change myself to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then it dawned on me, I can't even do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's all his work. So what do? Like a piece of clay, I yield myself to the potter. That's all. And that's where I started praying the same prayer 7 times a day. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I've done that for all these years, at least 7 times a day, on schedule almost always. I say that prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. It's not him helping me work, it's him working on me as I yield. Now, so far we've agreed on practically everything. We've agreed that we should not change the words of God, but change ourselves to conform to the words of God. We've agreed that we should not change God's words to conform to ours, but change our words to conform to his. We've agreed that we should not change God's plan of reconciliation to conform to ours, but change ours to conform to his. We've agreed that we should not change God's standards to conform to ours, but our standards to conform to his. We've agreed that we should not change God's music to conform to our music, but change our music to conform to God's music. But here's where most of us have stopped. You're not going to be like Jesus because you try. You can try to be sweet all you want to, but you're going to be sour. You can try to be kind all you want to, but you're going to end up being unkind. If you ever become like Jesus, it'll be gradual, from glory to glory, it says here. As you yield yourself as the clay to the potter, and the potter works on you, and the Holy Spirit works on you and uses you, you are simply the material on which he works. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art, come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness, stamp thine own image. Get the word? Image. Deep on my heart. In Genesis 1:26-27, God made man in his image. In Romans 1:21-23, man made God in his image. Every professor that sits behind the desk tomorrow in liberal schools, he's doing nothing more than idolatry. As much as they do in the Philippines, if they carve a piece of wood and say, this is what God looks like. That means that every professor that tries to make Jesus like us and denies the virgin birth and the sinless life and the vicarious death of Christ is nothing but a heathen. He may be heathen D.D. He may be heathen Ph.D. He may be heathen Ph.D. He may be heathen D.D.T. or B.V.D.s. But he's heathen. Why? Because the difference in Christianity and paganism is one thing. Christianity is to make man conform to the image of God. And paganism is to make God conform to the image of man. Would you bow your heads, please?